Good morning. Take your Bible and turn with me, please, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We left off yesterday in a discussion in verse 25, 24 and 25, about the idea of being usable to God. Let me read once again, verse 24 and 25, and we'll read them together. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. Now every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. Now by using that as kind of a refresher, or for that matter, for those of you who are joining the broadcast for the first time, as we're working our way through 1 Corinthians, we're going verse by verse. We have looked in 1 Corinthians at the problem with divisions in the church in chapters 1 through 4. We have considered what Paul had to say about immorality in the church in chapters 5, 6, and 7. And now in chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10, we are looking at those things that have to do with the things offered to idols, the controversies, the ugliness, quite frankly, sprang up in the church at Corinth because of the things offered to idols. And then you're going to notice that as we've looked at this, there is much more here than just whether or not something was offered to an idol. This is not something that you look at and say, oh, well, chapter 8, chapter 9, chapter 10, that's just for the Corinthians. It doesn't have anything to do with us. You will find in principle the things that are said here can apply to so many things beyond just the context of that period in time. Now, as we have come to verse 24 and verse 25 in 1 Corinthians chapter 9, you've got this idea of competition, the idea of training, the idea of temperance. Now, usually when temperance as a word is mentioned, people have in mind some sour-looking old bunch of women with hatchets in hand. They're going around pushing prohibition and bursting the heads of barrels of liquor and stuff like that. Temperance in the sense of being moderate. You could use the word moderation in this context. Every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. He's moderate in all things. He's not excessive on anything that would diminish his ability to win the competition. Now, while this is true in sports, you note that while verse 24 and 25 is about the idea of running in a foot race, you'll notice that it immediately becomes apparent when you get to the end of verse 25 that Paul is applying this in another direction. Now, they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. The idea that what a Christian does is going to have eternal consequences is something that needs to be constantly re-emphasized. It's something that is easy to overlook. It's something that people have a hard time keeping track of. In our society, it seems like everything is rush, 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 rush. Nobody has enough time to get everything done, much less sit around and meditate on the Word of God. And yet, there is no substitute for this. I find that people usually make the time for those things that they feel are important. Now, if you believe your service to God is something that needs to be important, you will find a way to do it. Now, people make excuses. Well, you know, I just don't have time. And what they mean is, I really don't think it's that high a priority. I don't place that high a value on it. I don't have time. Now, there are sometimes situations when people, well, they talk a good talk, and I think they're sincere and say, well, you know, I would like to do more, but, and the problem comes down to the fact that they have placed a higher priority on something else. And so as a result, they honestly don't feel like they have the time. In either case, when a person puts the emphasis where God puts the emphasis, there's always time to do what needs to be done. Now, it, quite frankly, may cramp your style. It may make things a little exciting as far as deadlines and things like that go. But when it comes down to the bottom line, there's always a way to get the job done if you want to. Now, we were talking yesterday about this idea of being used of God. When you gave your heart to Christ, it was not just for a free ride to heaven. Yes, according to the scripture, your sins are forgiven, you've got a home in heaven. At the same time, there's much more to it than that. You see, when you gave your heart to Christ, you also were enlisted in an army that is involved in a spiritual warfare. And whether or not you were aware of it at the time, you have found, unless you've been blind to everything around you, you have found that there have been times when the Lord has used you as an encouragement to somebody else, or because of something in your life that was detrimental to your walk with the Lord, you were also used, but this time by the devil, to discourage a weaker Christian, a new convert. Now, we need to be very much aware of these kind of things. It's not a matter that a person says, well, you know I'm a Christian, but I'd like for the devil to get all the use out of me he can. I don't know of any honest, professing Christian who would make a statement like that, much less knowingly put himself at the disposal of the devil. I just happened to think of something. If we turn back to the book of Romans, let's go back to chapter 6, for instance. If we go to verse 12, Romans chapter 6, verse 12, let not sin, therefore, reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lusts thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we are not under the law, but under grace? Look, please, at verse 16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Verse 17. But God be thanked that ye were, notice that's past tense, but God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered you. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. Now then, if we come back, if we come back to the setting here in verse 25, chapter 9 of 1 Corinthians, this matter of being used, the idea of obtaining a crown that is incorruptible, this matter of being temperate and keeping the body in submission, notice please, in verse 26 and 27, I therefore so run, not as uncertainly. He's not just jogging. He's not running at an uneven pace. So fight I, not as one that beateth the air. He's not going in there, arms swinging and flailing around. He's taking his shot. If you've ever watched somebody in the amateur ring, and somebody who's had the gloves on before, going up against somebody who has never had them on before, you'll find that for a while, the rank beginner will try, but as the more experienced fighter lands a punch, maybe pops him in the nose or cracks him on the chin, he loses control, he gets mad, and he starts flailing around trying to land hits. And the guy who's experienced goes ahead and covers up. He doesn't take any real damage, but he watches his opponent, and with his reflexes being under control, he goes ahead and he jabs, he'll punch, and eventually, he may use a combination or whatever, and he'll take the guy down. He just destroys him. Why? Because he's under control, because he knows what he's doing and the other fella didn't, because he's practiced, because he has trained, and the other guy hasn't. He says, so fight I not as one that beateth the air. You ever seen somebody shadow box? You know what we're talking about. They go ahead and they'll stand in front of a bright light, and there'll be a shadow on the wall, and they go ahead and they pretend like they're fighting that shadow. Well, that's all well and good, and you may be able to progress in your speed and your reflexes a certain amount, but that is not the equivalent of climbing in the ring with somebody who knows what they're doing. If all you've ever done is just shadow box, you're going to get beat to a pulp. You need to train with other fighters. You need to train with a speed bag. You need to train and build your strength. You need to know how to throw a punch. You need to know that if you spend all your time sucking down milkshakes and eating fat food and eating things that are bad for you, bad for your body, it's going to slow you down. You're going to be sluggish, and you're going to get clobbered. The idea of being temperate is fixed in the mind because the goal, the objective, has become more important than feeding your face. Reaching the goal, being number one. For the Christian, hearing, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Having that fixed as an objective, something you want to hear, then that makes you, like he says here in verse 27, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Why? Lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Now that word castaway, we're not talking here about being disposable. The idea of Paul having a concern, being worried about, well, you know, I don't want to have preached and then lose my salvation. This word, castaway, adokamos in the Greek, means to be disqualified from further service, no longer usable. Now, what are we talking about? We're not talking about whether or not you eat fat food, and too much sugar, and too much starch, too much carbohydrates. We're not talking about that kind of thing. That may be very important in terms of training for sports, but when it comes down to the spiritual thing we're talking about here, the idea of sin, the idea of being used of God and then finding yourself put on the shelf, being not used. Years ago, I preached in a church out in California. The man who was the pastor there was from Romania and by all accounts had been one of the greatest evangelists Romania had ever seen. But because of the communist control, they said, you gotta go, we gotta shut him up. They tried to assassinate him and they couldn't do it, so they said he's got to go. So he came to America. This is before you had any free immigration, and he was talking to me after the service, and he translated for me, and he said, you know, I used to preach like you, which was to me a great compliment, very flattering. He said, I used to preach like you, but he said, I can't anymore. God doesn't use me. And I've never seen such a wistful, longing look in a man's face. I have been used, and now I am no longer used. And it was eating him up. Now, my friend, sin is the problem. Being outside the will of God will take you away from being used. Now, my time's gone for today. I hope you'll join me tomorrow for the next edition of The Bible Says.